a picture through WhatsApp to the family of peacocks. She happened to be in Arcadia in the Arboretum, and she was seeing peacocks. And Pastor Brian's coming in this morning and asking me if peacocks has any significance. And I really felt like that in the spirit, God is saying that what the enemy means for harm, God's going to turn it into good. And he's doing this in Iraq. So we believe this from him. So Father, we just come in Jesus' name, and we bless Pastor Kwan, Pastor Ye, and the team. We pray maximum extension of your kingdom. What the enemy means for harm, you're turning it into good. And so we declare your goodness over them, your anointing upon them, your protection upon them. We pray that you would continue to raise up intercession through this church and other churches for their team, for the maximum extension of your kingdom among the people of Iraq, especially the Yazidi people. There's something that God's speaking to us about what happens in the natural, that God is making it happen in the spiritual. And there's a message this morning that Pastor Brian's going to give about breakthrough. And we literally experienced a breakthrough in this sanctuary in the last couple of weeks. So I just declare, Lord, your breakthrough's coming in our church and in our midst and in this community and for the sake of revival. And we just declare that it would happen even this morning. So the things that where the enemy raises up against us, we pray that you would just smash those things down in Jesus' name. Thanks for the testimony that we just heard, but there's many more. And so we just declare the breakthrough of the Lord Jesus Christ is amongst us this morning, and it is happening right now. Lord, we just thank you, God, for what you have been doing amongst us. But Lord, we are asking you for more for the sake of revival, for the sake of others, that we wouldn't just be the ones to experience a breakthrough, but Lord, that your kingdom would come in this generation through us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, so Pastor Brian is back with us. He's been with us a couple of times. He's actually preaching at the youth and the youth retreat this summer. He's been a friend of mine for 17 years. I met him my first quarter of seminary, and so he's back with us. You heard from Audrey last night. She did a wonderful job, and we praise God for her. And so we praise God for the Park family. So give a warm welcome, Pastor Brian.
We're good? All right, here's a change. You guys made a lot of changes. I think it's good changes. Yeah, I was coming here, and it's nice to, I like driving. So it's about an hour away from where I am at, and I always enjoy the time to just to pray and to intercede. And as I was coming, I just felt like, because I'm praying in tongues. It's okay, right? I'm praying in tongues. I'm also interpreting. And as I interpreting my tongues, the word was declare breakthrough. Breakthroughs are coming. Breakthroughs are coming. For this church, for you guys, for some of you guys. For some of you, it's financial. Okay, financial. For some of you, it's spiritual. For some of you, it's just, but breakthroughs are coming. And the other thing that I saw was, like I said, I saw a peacock. Right before I entered this place, I saw a peacock. And there's more to that. A peacock, there's beauty. There's majesty, and all these things are taking place, okay? I'll be honest with you. I am tired, okay? I have three little boogers that when my wife was here, I'm at home taking care of them. And I had detention. Do you guys know The Breakfast Club? You ever see the movie The Breakfast Club? So I do that on Saturdays. Okay, that's my... that's. I'm the teacher that monitors the Saturday school. It's like some kids who they're tardy and things like that. And for 4 hours, I'm just watching them. They're doing homework and things like that. So yesterday was a busy day, and then getting ready for today. So I'm a little tired, but I drank some Red Bull. So I might be... Don't ever drink that at night. Because I've done that before. I drink Red Bull at night, and I was up. I was like, I can't sleep. I'm just like wired and ready to go. And don't ever do that. But I'm kind of ready to go, but I'll be honest with you. I am a little tired, but I believe God has a word for you guys. Amen? Woo-wee. All right, here we go. If you have your Bibles, go to Joshua 6. Go to Joshua 6. Thank think this is good, right? Okay. Joshua 6. And I know last time I spoke, I know I talked about the tabernacle and the glory of God. How many of you guys, do you guys remember that at all? A little bit? I hope so, okay? But I talked about the tabernacle and I talked about the glory of God. But I feel like the Lord wants to continue in that manner. But I feel like the focus is going to be on the priests. The focus is going to be on the priests. And I talked to my wife, and I know my wife talked somewhat, or she did talk about the priests of God in the Old Testament. You guys remember that? Who was here yesterday? Okay. She's amazing, right? Yeah, she carries an anointing, and she'll make you cry. She will make you cry. She'll make you. She'll love on you. She'll give you a lot of joy. So I was very encouraged, and I released her. She has an anointing. She has a worship anointing. She also has. I believe she's a good teacher. Okay, it's crazy that God just gives her insights when she opens up the Bible. God just gives her insights and wisdom and guidance. And sometimes I get blown away by her insights. Okay, and I went to seminary for like how long? And she has insights that just blows me away. God just blesses her with those words. Now, if you go to Joshua 6, I want to look into this and kind of show you. We know the story, right? We all know the story of Joshua and the priests. And I know if you can't read it, my apologies, okay? But I want to read from verse 1, and it says this. Now, Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. Can you say amen? So we have to understand the story. We got to understand what was taking place here. We understand that God told the priest to carry what the Ark of the Covenant, and remember, the Ark of the Covenant, remember, it symbolized the glory of God. And we have to understand that God's telling them, God's instructing Joshua. Remember, we had Moses, and then we have Joshua who is taking over, and I want you to understand, I feel like he is Joshua. Are you with me? Dennis is your Joshua, and I feel like your father-in-law is Moses, and there's a passing of the glory of God. Are you with me? Okay? And God tells Joshua, this is what you are supposed to do. Prior to this, they had a city called Gilgal. And this within this city, they're called to what? They're called to circumcise themselves and prepare themselves to enter this Jordan Valley and to take over the city, Jericho. And we're going to talk about this more. So they're called to what? March around the city 6 times once. And on the 7th day, they're to what? March around the city how many times? 7 times. All right, and what was in front? You have the 7 priests, okay? They were with these 7 trumpets, and they were to blow it. And then you had what's called the guard. There were guards in front, and they're also the rear guard. And they were to march around this city of Jericho. And what you have to understand, this city of Jericho, I mean, of all the cities to take, remember, Jericho was a key city to the entire valley. This passage is very prophetic for your church. Are you understanding me? I believe that you are called to take this city for God. Can you say amen? He has called you to take Jericho. But in the way that you are to take this city, the way you are to take this city is not by you, but by what? By the worship and the praise and carrying the glory and the presence of God in your lives as well as in this church. Are you getting this? When I looked, I looked into a little bit of a study of walnut, okay? Right? It's about 63% what? What do you think? Asian. I was like, whoa, 63% Asian. But you know what? You have the potential to reach more than just the Asian in this community. Are you with me? You have the potential. I believe your parent church, they speak more what? Is it Mandarin Chinese, right? That means you have the potential to reach a lot more people within this city than the parent church. Are you with me? Because we do everything in English, right? As I looked into the city, did you know how this city of Walnut was founded? It was founded by what? Missionaries. It was founded by missionaries. And you got to understand, there are wells that have been dug, and I feel like God is saying, you don't need to go over here. God's saying, redig those wells that have already been dug to release those things. Those things, again, what God has done in the past that he still wants to do today. As we look into this passage, I want to focus on these priests. There's a few things that was taking place. If you focus on these priests, you got to remember in the Old Testament, remember the tabernacle. And remember the tabernacle, how everything was set up. You had, well, I just want to do a little bit of review so you guys understand. We have the tabernacle of God. God gave very clear and specific instructions to Moses. You had the tabernacle, the outside, the outer court. And it basically you have, let me see if I have it. Do I have it? There we go, the tabernacle of God. So you have what's called the outer court, and then you have what's called the inner court. And within this inner court, you had the holy place. And as you went further, it was called the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place. And the priests, you had Aaron, who was considered the high priest back then. Okay, you had Aaron, and within Aaron, you had his sons, but you also had the Levites that were set apart to take care of this tabernacle. Day and night, they were called to take care of this tabernacle. All right, and you have to understand, in the same capacity as they were going to take care of this tabernacle day and night, there was offerings being made, there was things that were to be done and taken care of. You have to understand that points to us, because we are also called to be priests of a holy God. Are you with me? Okay. There are a few things that these priests would carry out. And I believe it applies to us, and I want to look into a couple of them. The Ark of the Covenant, which symbolized the glory of God. In 1 Chronicles, I want to look here, and I'm going to stay here for a little bit, and I'm going to come back to Joshua 6. It says this. In 1 Chronicles, it says 23:13-14. The sons of Amram, Aaron and Moses, Aaron was set apart, he and his descendants forever, to consecrate the most holy things, to offer sacrifices before the Lord, to minister before him, to pronounce blessings in his name forever. The sons of Moses, the son of God, were counted as part of the tribe of Levi. And if you understand this, if you look into this, there's a couple things that have taken place. I believe the priests were called to what? They were called to four things. One of those things was to what? They were to consecrate the most holy things. Holiness must be a priority in a believer's life. Holiness must be a priority in a believer's life. The word, the Hebrew word for holy is called badal. It's to separate oneself from and separate oneself unto. That unto is God. That we're called to separate ourselves unto the Lord. In 1 Peter 4:16, it says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Can you say amen? John Piper wrote this. He says this. Sin is what you do when your heart is not satisfied with God. No one sins out of duty. We sin because it holds out some promise of happiness that promise enslaves us. It's a false promise that this world and this culture offers us. God calls us to be separate. He calls us to a holy life. See, we have to understand, if we can understand that when God gives us his word, it's not to bound us. It's to what? It's to protect us. Are you with me? He gives us his word, and we're called to obey it because he desires to protect, because he knows our sinful nature. Are you with me? And he wants to protect us, that in obeying him, there is a blessing in that. Secondly is this. Second thing you see. We're going to look into this. Oh, got it mixed up. It's okay. Here we go. Two is this. To offer sacrifices before the Lord, worship must be a priority in a believer's life. Can you say amen? Worship must be a priority in a believer's life. See, these priests, like I said, and we know this. We know that eventually what happens? They would all point to the great high priest, who is who? Jesus Christ. And that because of him, that no longer did they have to do these ceremonies, these sacrifices, these rituals, but now that we could enter into the Holy of Holies because of who? Because of Jesus Christ. And if you understand, worship says this. I want to read this. I hope it's up there, okay? But it says this. Worship. How many of you guys know Tommy Walker? He's part of the Billy Graham Association, and he wrote this. He says, worship is a declaration of our weakness and God's strength. I challenge you in your next point of need to make that hard choice to be a worshiper and let the breakthrough God fight your battle. I believe that's it right there. When we worship, the invisible God is at work doing invisible and powerful things. We get realigned, refreshed, and refueled. We find unspeakable joy and indescribable peace. It says, we discover the breakthrough strength of God, which enables us to walk in the truth, live in his presence, and see him fight our battles for us. It is how we put the beauty of the gospel on display, receive his many blessings, at the same time, be a blessing to the world. See, I believe anyone who puts worship at the forefront of their life, okay, that you will experience breakthrough. Are you with me? Any church or ministry that puts worship at the forefront of their ministry, you will experience breakthrough. How many of you guys have heard of, some of you, I believe most of you guys have, how many of you guys heard of IHOP? Right? We've all heard of IHOP. Mike Bickle, he writes, many singers and musicians love Jesus. They lack the revelation of God's power. In this hour, Jesus is placing prophetic music at the forefront of his end time plan to reveal his heart, release his power, and establish his justice. Okay, are you with me? Bethel, how many of you guys heard of Bethel? Okay, I hope you could read it. I hope you can read this. But it says this. Why does the Lord invite us into a place of worship? The Lord, in his mercy, designed it for us to find our fullest expression in life, standing before him, accepted, delighted in, and ministering unto him in thanksgiving and praise. He says, God always chooses the best. If God, in loving us, chooses to design us as worshipers, then what's the point? You always become like what you worship. There's nothing he could want more for us than for us to become like him. With that in mind, he designed us to be worshipers. He says, in our history at Bethel, there was a line drawn in the sand where we said, this is why we're alive. This is our supreme responsibility, our great God-given opportunity to be those who minister to the Lord. As a church, and our entire ministry grew out of that priority, most everything we've ever learned, we've learned as worshipers of God. And there are thousands who go there for healing, ministry, and school worship. See, you got to understand. See, what you have to understand is what you worship is what you serve. It's a natural outflow. What you worship, what you and I worship, that is what we will serve. And the hope is that it is God. Can you say amen? Thirdly is this. It says this. To minister before him, the priest would minister before him. It says there's a readiness to serve must be a priority in a believer's life. Basically this, a simple obedience to the Lord. A simple obedience to the Lord. The word is called avoda. In the Hebrew, it's avoda. And you have to understand, like I said, worship and service are those, that word is connects worship and service. Do you understand that? It connects that word. And it says this, that when we're ready, see, we have to understand, when we worship God, there is a freedom. When we sin, there is an enslavement, a bondage, and an addiction. See, I remember when the church that I'm at right now, the pastor is Pastor Peter Kim. Okay, he's been there for a good 17 years, but the church has slowly kind of decreased. Okay, it had slowly decreased, and I remember we were at the swimming pool. Right, I took my three boys. We went swimming. He was with his kids. And they were swimming. We were living in the same community. As we were living in the same community, he was about to leave, and I had just come. And he wanted to introduce himself to me because our kids actually went to the same preschool. Okay, and we kind of knew each other. We saw each other at the preschool and things like that. But he just wanted to meet me. And as we introduced ourselves, and as he was about to leave, the Lord put something on my heart to speak to him. And I was like, you know, and usually, you know, when God speaks, right, sometimes you're like a little hesitant because you're a little fearful. What is he going to think of me, right? And as the Lord put something on my heart, I shared with him, I shared with him that I believe God is laying a foundation. I believe God is laying a foundation for your church. And I believe when you are laying a foundation, sometimes that is the hardest part to do, to lay a foundation. Because he, you know what? He told me later he was ready to quit the ministry. Are you with me? He was ready to quit. But God had a word of encouragement. We ended up going to that church, me and my wife. My wife eventually took over the worship ministry. All right? We would go to the prayer meetings. And there's things, but God is turning things around because of just simple obedience. Had nothing to do with me. Had everything to do with him and me just listening to that. Are you guys with me? Wherever you're at, I believe God calls us to obey. I believe God is, like I said, he is always working around us. He is always working around us. Are we open enough? Are we intimate enough that we are listening and hearing what God has to say to the people around us? Can you say amen? I believe God has a word to someone or the people next to you. Fourthly is this, what is it about the priest? It says this, the priest, they were to pronounce the blessing in his name. The blessing of others must be a priority in a believer's life. I believe we're called to be a river, not a lake. Because a river truly what? It truly flows. A lake sometimes has a tendency to decay. And I believe we've heard this term before. We're called to be we're blessed to be a what? Blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10, it says this. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now I want you to get that. Sit on that for a little bit. We are God's what? Workmanship. We are God's workmanship. That word, if you look carefully, it means a masterpiece in the making. That once God saves you, okay, that he is working in your life, working in your heart, he's working things out in your life, that you are a masterpiece in the making, that you are called to what? God has prepared good works for you to do that only you can do because you're so unique. See, what you got to understand is this, that he, what? That masterpiece is put on what? It is put on display. Okay, you with me? See, there are things that God has put inside of you. if we are made in the image of God, you got to get this. If we are made in the image of God, God is what? When you look at God, he's what? There's beauty, yes? There's majesty, yes? There is glory, yes? There is creativity. Are you with me? So if we are made in the image of God, there are things that he has put inside of you. It's okay to say, hey, you are beautiful. Amen? You are. There's beauty inside of you that you carry the beauty and the glory and the majesty and the creativity of God. That he has called you and he's putting you on display. All right, see, that's the point. The peacock, what is it about the peacock? When they would want to attract the female, right? What would they do? The male would what? Display his what? The feathers. Those feathers would be on display. See, it's the same thing. God desires to put us on display because it still points to who? It points to who? It still points to him. Are you with me? Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. See, the gifts that God has put inside of me is because of him. I point back to him. Right? Are you guys getting this? God wants to put you on display. Do we have any dancers here? Any dancers here? Anyone? No one? A dancer, yes. Right here. Anyone else? I'm a dancer. Not a good one. But when you worship, see, when you worship, or when I go to a place and worship, I just, the Spirit of God is moving. As you guys were worshiping in this place, there were angels just moving about. Okay? And I can't help sometimes just moving my hands. Okay? I can't help but just pretend like I'm doing a ballet or something like this. And then people are going to look at me, what's wrong with this guy? And I'm just going, you know what, I just have to move. My body just needs to move. Or it's not great, but I feel like it's flowing in the Spirit of God. All right? There are times when there's fast songs, you're going to see me jumping. And I have to be careful. Some people think, what's he doing? I want to celebrate. So you see me, the first time I met my wife, she saw me just dancing up and down. She's like, this guy is weird, right? All right, he's jumping, he's dancing. Yeah, I hope you guys allow that. I want to see Dennis dance, all right? God wants to put your gifts on display because those gifts still come straight from God. Amen? Some of you are going to be called to speak. Some of you guys are going to be called to the mission field. Some of you guys are going to be called. He wants to put you on display and say, hey, it's okay. Because it gives me an opportunity to say, he gave me these things. He gave me these things. Okay. See, it matters. You are now the royal priest. You are the priest of God. If we desire breakthrough, God calls us. So you got to understand, remember, for those who try to come to the ark in an unholy manner, what happened to them? They die. Because carrying God's glory takes what? It takes a life devoted unto him. And see, when they got the breakthrough, see, here's the thing. They got the breakthrough. The walls of Jericho, remember, Jericho once again represented a stronghold. Okay? What is your Jericho today? What is it that is in front of you that has become that big, that huge obstacle? God is saying, you know what? I can help you with that. Okay? But it starts with what? Worship. You with me? Okay? Now here's the thing. See, that breakthrough took place. The walls of Jericho came down. But what you got to understand is this. What happened after that? You got to read that story. What happened after that? It was Achan's what? Sin. See, here's the thing. We get our breakthrough, and then we have a tendency to get comfortable. And where there is too much comfort, that leads to complacency. And that complacency leads to what? Compromise. Are you with me? See, when you get the breakthrough, it means don't stop there. Church, don't stop at just this. Extend the walls again. Can you say amen? See, one of the things that I am learning about me and my wife are our marriage. See, before we were married, I chased after her. I did anything. I would, like, you know, right after a Christian meeting at Fuller, I would say, hey, let's go out and eat with a bunch of other people, okay? I would do that. I would go, we would go, and we would go to this place. It's called BCD. I don't know if you heard of that. BCD is a tofu house. It's a tofu place where you eat, and we would all go there. I would just say, hey, let's go eat. Me and my friends, we're in a group setting. It's okay, and let's do this. And then afterwards, I would tell her, hey, can I take you home? These were things. I shared this before. But I would say, hey, I want to take you home. Is it okay? Even though my friend lived closer to where her car was, so she got suspicious. Remember, she got suspicious. Why are you taking me home, right? Your friend could take me home, and it's closer to my car. Why are you taking me home? Seriously. She called me that night, and I said, what are your intentions? She told me that. I was chasing after her. She was cute. I called her Hot Mama. That is her nickname for her. But here's the thing. I got her, right? A lot of other guys were actually, during that time, there's a lot of guys who were, like, calling her, wanting to go out with her. She told me later. There's this other guy, tall guy. He, like, was smarter than me and everything like that. And I was like, he was going to be a doctor. He came out and became in ministry. So I was like, oh, man. All right. And the thing was, here's the thing. See, the tendency is you get married. You gotten to know her. The thing is, this is on a practical level, but also on a spiritual level. You need to continue to chase. I needed to continue to chase after her. In the same way, we know God, but God says, hey, don't stop now. You need to continue to chase after me. Hey, you've gotten your breakthrough. Great. Continue to chase after me. Continue to know me. Don't stop knowing him and who he is. That's one thing he's taught me. I need to continue to know him. So you get your breakthrough, but don't stop. There's more land for you to take. You guys with me? There's more land for you to take. Let's pray. I'm going to have the worship team just for a few minutes. I want you to also soak in a little bit. I want to play the song, King Among Us. If you want to stand, if you want to dance, please be free. This is about Elevation Worship. I want the worship team to just soak it in. After this, come on up. If you want to stand, you want to bow, whatever you want to do, please be free. Falling, hear your people calling, King of Kings.
time to sow and a time to reap. Won't you do it again? Do it again. There's a time to heal and a time to build. Said, consecrate yourselves to me. King is among us, His glory surrounds us, His fire is falling as we sing. And the Savior is for us, and His love is victorious, and revival is rising in His name. And the King is among us, and His glory surrounds us, fire is falling as we sing. And the Savior is for us, and His love is victorious, and revival is rising in His name. Yes, it is. And the King is among us, and His glory surrounds us, and His fire is falling as we sing.
As the worship team comes up, I want to read this. As the worship team comes up, I want to read this. This is Billy Graham, Tommy Walker, Billy Graham Association. Several years ago, when I was doing a worship event in the poor neighborhood of Zambia, I sensed the darkness all around us. Poverty, violence, abuse, hopelessness, hunger. We worshiped the Lord every night for more than an hour before we felt we could even begin to present the gospel. Only then did we sense a real breakthrough in the Spirit, and we saw hundreds come to Christ. What a strange battle plan. But the result was that the Lord won the battle for them. Can you say amen? You are called to take this city. I believe that. You are called to take this city. You are called to take this city. Give me an amen. You are called to take this city. You are called to bring revival. You are called to be a holy priest unto the Lord, dedicated unto the Lord to lift up a praise and a declaration wherever you are at. Are you with me? In the shower, in the car, at your work, to bring breakthrough in the places that you are. Declare praise. Something bad happens, declare the goodness of the Lord, that He is good. His love endures forever. Amen. When you feel discouraged, lift up a word of praise that He loves me. And when you fall and you fail, that you can say, He loves me, all of me, all my failures, all my fears. Declare praise. I believe through that, you're going to see, breakthroughs, Lord, more breakthroughs, financial breakthroughs. If you need financial breakthrough, I need you to raise your hand. Father, anyone else? Father, we pray for that. Release it. Pray for financial breakthroughs, Lord. Open the doors. They will say, God, Lord, this is crazy, but it's you. Release it, oh God. Financial breakthroughs, oh God. Financial breakthroughs over this church. Over this church. You have to understand, when they march, you have to understand, seven, they marched around that city seven times. Seven also means abundance. Seven also means what? Jubilee. Seven also means what? Rest. Are you guys getting this? So Father, we pray for that abundance. We pray for that abundance over them, oh God. Pray for a release. Release your financial blessings, oh God. More, Lord, more. Let's see what the Lord has in store. If you guys want to worship, go for it.